Hello everyone, DSO here from dadstartingover.com. I wanted to tell you about the members-only portion of my website called the DSO Fraternity. You can learn more about it at dadstartingover.com/join. What do you get with your membership fee of $14.99 per month or $149 per year? Well, you get access to all of my books, including The Dead Bedroom Fix, Now What?, and Red Flags, as well as any future books that may come out. You get to download them in PDF format, download an MP3 audio, or stream the audio right from the website. We also have member-only articles, some of which have audio. We also have Facebook groups, private Facebook groups for members only, where you get to discuss a variety of topics with your fellow members, including dead bedrooms, starting over after divorce, and dating after divorce. We also have live member Zoom meetings 3 times per week. Myself and 3 other coaches host these meetings, and we have a variety of different topics that we discuss live with our members, and members get to share their story and ask for advice. Speaking of coaching, members of the DSO fraternity get pretty considerable discounts on one-on-one coaching with myself, Scott, Jack, or Thomas, all of which are ready to help. So give it a shot. dadstartingover.com/join. And now on to today's episode. So, Chris, why don't you tell us about yourself, your age, you and your wife, kids, all that good stuff.
Yep. So I'm 45. My current partner now, we're not married yet, but we've been together for 6 years, is 50. We have no kids together, but we have 4 kids all up. So I've got a first relationship where I've got 3 kids. Their ages, they're sort of early teens, one that's not quite a teenager yet. Mm-hmm. And my partner now has a boy who's 12. So we've got a fair range in that regard.
Yeah. I assume you all live together.
No, we don't. So
you do not. Oh, all right, cool.
No. So my partner and the 12-year-old, we live together. And my kids live with my ex, and they live interstate, so we got a tyranny of distance in that regard. So current conditions, it's quite hard because we've got 900 kilometers between us.
Wow.
But with COVID and everything, it's been one of those things trying to get them over here. But normally I get them all the holidays, and I go and see them halfway through each school term. I'll drive over for a weekend. A lot of kilometers.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So that leaves a lot of time for yourself.
And it does. It's been quite a difference between my first marriage and the relationship I'm in now.
And how long have you been in this new relationship?
Just on 6 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
this is a good long-term thing. Are there any plans in the future to move in together? Or you kind of like the way things are?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. We got that a little mixed up. We do live together.
Oh, okay.
Myself and my partner live together, and we've got her 12-year-old living there. But
kids. So, it's just not you and all the kids together. I got you.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's what I was looking forward to.
Cool. So how did you find Dad Starting Over? I assume through the Dead Bedroom Fix book.
Bingo. Yes. I was at a point in my current relationship where things had started turning south, to quote you in out of some of your books. And I had got to the point of having the talk, and it wasn't a very good moment, that's for sure. It was a week later, I traveled over to see my kids over in New South Wales where they live. And I was sitting there, and I got them all to bed one night, and I was just sitting there scrolling on my phone, and I come across the Dead Bedroom Fix on Instagram, the ad for it.
Mm-hmm.
And like a lot of the guys I've heard on here, went, "Ooh, that's interesting. That sounds very familiar." And so I had a quick look and thought, gee, for Australian dollars, about $13 over here, I thought, nah, it's worth having a look at. So I downloaded the audio book version. And then when I was driving, because for that trip, I'd flown to Sydney and then driven the 500 kilometers down to where the kids were due to border closures. I couldn't get through in my car. So I had a 500 kilometer drive on the way home, and I listened to it from start to finish on that drive.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. And so obviously it had an effect on you, kind of hit you upside the head.
Yeah, it did. It, it, It really did. I was driving along. It's funny. It almost made me emotional. Like it was so my where I've been. You know, like you could have been a fly on my wall for a lot of what's been going on. So it was just, I'm just driving along thinking, oh wow, how on earth, you know, like this is exactly where I've been and what I've dealt with, and in it's been for me in two different relationships. So the my marriage, the first one was I look at it back now and I've listened to your books and I just think how pathetic I was. You know, like I just would be walked over with everything I did. It's a hard one to explain, but to the relationship I'm in now and why this one is fantastic, and you know, everything goes really well. We get on like a house on fire and everything. The bedroom was starting to turn south a little bit, and then this your book came in just at the right time. So
you were, it wasn't a full blown dead bedroom, but it was trending that direction.
It was trending. Yeah. I think your book came at exactly the right time. For me, like for me to wake up and see what I had to do to, because, you know, the basis of the talk is that you're basically blaming the other person. It's like, oh, you know, why won't you, you know, jump in bed with me? Why won't you do this? But it's not, it's in my mind now, it's not about that. It's about myself. It was me being needy, being all those things, and getting the response as you've quoted. So
you've used the term, they walked all over you and now needy. So, kind of, you know, what we use, the typical quote, nice guy kind of behavior.
Yeah. I was the exact nice guy. Yeah.
So where do you think that came from?
That's a very good question. I've always been someone who's fairly passive, and just thought I was lucky to be where I was with a lot of my relationship, I think. So with that comes the sense of needing to, you know, do everything you can for the other person so they you know, so you impress them and you keep them looking your way and not looking anywhere else. And
you felt very lucky to be in these relationships, and you're going to do whatever you can to hang on to them.
Exactly. And in my marriage, the first one, my ex-wife basically just took advantage of that, you know, like she just saw it coming after a little while. I ended up doing everything, you know, I'd from, you know, even before we had kids, you know, and then when we had kids, I'd just get home from work and I'd do all the house cleaning, the food preparation, everything that needed to be done. Then we had kids and I'd get up and feed every time during the night, even though I was the one working and she never worked the day that I was with her. I would clean, do all, just about all the nappies, bath them, put them to bed, cook dinners. The only thing I didn't do was wash clothes, but even when she did that, she'd just dump them on the living room couch and they'd sit there until I folded them and put them away, you know, just things like that. I used to have to take the kids, everything I did. So if I wanted to do something for myself, like go out, do a bit of fishing, or I like bird watching, photography is one of my big things. I'd have to take the kids with me. I'd be walking around national parks with three kids in tow trying to photograph birds. It was a different type of setup, but you know, I managed. But you know, it took a strain. It took a lot. And I work in a winery over here in the Barossa Valley, and I'd do shift work as well at certain times of the year, and I would be doing 12-hour shifts, come home to then have to take the kids to school, or kindy or daycare, whichever it was. You know, things like that where you just run off my feet. And so all this time, and during all this time, you know, she was, I called her a perennial student. She was at university, and she'd finish one course and jump to the next, and never, and always use that excuse, never have to work, and could just sit at home. Professional student, and still is, but that's not my problem anymore.
No.
And so, yeah, so eventually, you know, I snapped.
Enough.
I had to walk away. Enough was enough. And
I mean,
I walked away.
You're describing pretty extreme provider, almost stereotypically, not to be sexist or anything, almost like a maternal behavior of, you know, the housework and the this and that and dragging the kids everywhere. You know, the typical what you think of like the house mom kind of behavior. So, I mean, that just doesn't come out of nowhere. Did you have a model for that growing up? Did you see that as, was your dad the same way, or was your dad not around? Or
no, it's a funny thing. You know, my parents and people that I've known have been exactly opposite. It's been the wife that does all those sort of things, and the stereotypical style, the male that goes into work, comes home, puts his feet up. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure where it's come from, to be honest. It's an interesting one.
I think you hit on it earlier where you said, I'm just super lucky to be in this and I'll do whatever it takes.
Yeah, maybe it's that.
And so, well, that begs the question then. That seems like a low sense of self-worth, or I'm being who I am, I'm lucky to get any kind of attention from a woman. Did you have much in the way of experience in romantic partnerships prior to the ex-wife and your current partner?
Not a lot. Like I had on and off just short relationships, but nothing that I'd call ever very serious. Not a massive amount. And then there's a fairly big gap between my last girlfriend and then before I married her. There's a fairly large gap there as well. So it may have been that caused some of that. But I think it's just in my personality to, I guess, you know, when you're that provider style person, it's just, when I grab something too, I run with it. And I do that with everything in my life, be it my hobbies or whatever it is, I'll put my head into it and I'll do it. I'll try and do it properly. Maybe it was just that. Maybe I just, once my I got it on my head, I got to do it. That was it. And I just ran with it. So.
And I would assume the ex-wife was all about it and she did her job in kind of training you to be this way. So, the impression you're giving is one of maybe a little passivity in terms of, it could be construed as a good way, such as, hey, I'm happy. I'm content. Life is good. Yeah, whatever. That's fine. Yeah, sure. Whatever. I'm good with that. You want to go out and do this? Yeah, whatever. You want to stay in tonight? Works for me. You know, kind of, just go with the flow, dude. And the problem with that is if you hook up with the wrong friend, or God forbid, the wrong wife, romantic partner who recognizes that, and then they go, I can take this person and get him to do whatever the hell I want. And
exactly what happens.
Yeah. And they give a little test here and there. Let's see what happens when I say this to him. Oh,
yeah.
Nothing. In fact, he doubled down and became even nicer. Well, what does that teaches her? You know, if she's a raging asshole, you just be even nicer and nicer. And then it gets to the point. Go ahead.
So I was going to say, now I look back and that's exactly right. I look back and think, you know, maybe if I brought some of these, you know, some of the, where I am now back then, things would have been totally different now, you know, like I'm really happy where I'm now. I don't want that to happen, but like at the time I was nothing like I am now. So it's exactly what it was, I think. And she just took it and ran with it. So,
And so you had a grand epiphany during marriage number one of, wait a minute, this sucks. This is no good. And did you have like a blow up with her and say, we need to stop doing this?
Yeah. Well, in the last couple of years of marriage, I started, waking up to it a bit, like maybe even a bit longer than that. But, and see what happened over that time too, I lost a lot of my friends. I was always really close with good mates and that sort of thing that I would like to go and see. And you'd get invites to things and I would end up going without her and things like that. And slowly but surely, the invites had started slowing down. So that was one little thing I really didn't enjoy. Things like, probably especially in the last few years, we'd have holidays, school holidays, and I'd take the kids on holidays. You know, like you do go for a family holiday, like most people would want to be doing. And I would do a run out to, you know, a couple hundred k's down the coast and go to beaches and surfing and things like that, and she'd never come. So it was always just dad taking the kids on holidays, you know, things like that. And it just every one of these little things, just another little chip in the armor. And eventually, yeah, it just got too much. She'd gone up for a university residential school where she has to go up to, she was in a university in New South Wales at the time, but studying by distance. And so I'd taken some of my long service leave to look after the kids for a couple of weeks, and she'd gone off and done the residency, and we came back and we picked her up from the airport, and she basically said hello to the kids and ignored me. I had nothing much, you know, didn't really say much at all.
Wow.
We drove home and I'd cleaned up the house pretty much 100% compared to what it was. She got in, and the one thing that hadn't been made was the bed was still a bit messed up. And she walks in and has a crack at me about the bed. And that was it. That was my point. I slept on the couch that night and I walked out next morning.
Wow. So, well, good so for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it took you a while, back. But you other finally woke up.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, other than my kids, I mean, the kids really hurts me. I still struggle with that. As it would for most guys, I think, who have lost their kids, not lost them, they still come to me. But at the time, it was quite rough because she worked them against me after I walked out for a long time. But other than walking out on the kids, it's been the absolute best thing that could ever happen to me since. So, yeah, I'm in a much better place now.
Was the process of kind of waking up and saying, what the hell was that all about? Was that almost immediate after you left her, or did that take some time? Did reading the book kind of spark that?
I think I was almost on the journey a little bit beforehand anyway. I hadn't seen the book at that point. But it was just, when I read the book now and I look back at how it happened, and it was just, it had to be forced out of me almost, but it was, yeah, definitely had started picking up some of those little points that were, you know, hang on, you need to man up here and stop being such a bloody pussy, you know, like this is silly, you're getting walked on, you know, like,
how much time between the end of your first marriage and this new relationship?
Not very long, pretty quick. I'd known my new partner for a little while anyway, just through the birding world that I live in, and just online and that sort of thing. And then after a while, just through chatting a little bit, we ended up going out birding on a birding date. We met up like that, and yeah, everything just sort of went from there. So yeah, timeline, yeah, no, I don't know, yeah, maybe, yeah, 6 months or something like that.
And then how long did you guys start living together after dating?
I stayed with a mate for a while, and then I was in another place probably, I don't know, maybe 10 months to a year, something like that, later.
All right. Okay.
It caused a lot of hassle with my ex, because she then saw that I was moving on, and she still thought she had control over me like she did before.
Yeah.
And she started full alienating the kids to me and all that fun that you get with courts and things like that. She went for whole hog on me. Basically, especially once the new relationship started, she accused me of domestic violence, and which I never touched her in my life, you know. Jeez. And did it to basically run back to New South Wales, because she didn't want to be over here anymore, and she wanted to take the kids with her. And the only way to do that without having to do mediation and go through all the normal channels is to you can claim accuse abuse. Someone of something like that, and then they go straight to court, and the judge just goes, right, I'll see you later.
Wow.
So yeah, so that's that. It caused a lot of trouble in that regard. And the good thing is, the kids have got past that now. They've sort of slowly woken up to what's going on. And now they all love, you know, many years down the track, they all love coming over and spending time with dad. So, yeah. But it was a long journey. It was a long journey in that regard.
Yeah. Okay. So let's fast forward then to current relationship. You guys are, I would assume you experienced a nice, hot and heavy, ultra romantic beginning to the, at the beginning of the relationship?
Oh yeah. Yep. And then, it was good fun. It was great. I mean, I never felt so alive. And felt feelings that I had never felt even with my first wife, you know, like,
yeah,
it almost felt, when I look at it now, it feels like almost settled, just because my ex had given me a time of day back then, and you know, it didn't feel, and it was great. And I never had the feelings that I have now and had at that time, especially the start of the new relationship. And you know, the bedroom was on fire for a long time, and yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. So.
When did you feel it started to slow down? The wheels started falling off a little bit.
Probably only really. Oh, yeah, maybe the last year or so. It was a year or two. I mean, it was about the first sort of 3 years were amazing. You know, like it just kept. That period went for a long time, and it was great. And so then it slowed down a little bit, and it was, I was just starting to, you know, be a little concerned, didn't think a whole lot of it. And then in the last, about a year ago, I suppose, it would have been, it really slowed down to, you know, you might only be going into the bedroom once a month or.
Ooh, that's even, not good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's by definition a dead bedroom, I would say. So
yes, it was definitely heading that way.
In looking back though, can you point at a specific instance that kind of triggered the downslide, or no, it was just so gradual? There was a moment, okay.
No, not an exact moment. I think it was sort of a time period, but especially now I've read your book and looked at what I did and where I've been, I felt myself. I think I felt that I was slipping back into those full provider area. Mm-hmm. I think I almost still was in the provider role in that sort of thing. The good thing is in my new relationship, I earn less money than my new partner and my partner now, not new anymore, but, and she worked and yeah, she's a real worker, like everything's 50-50 at home and things like that. So, but what I was still doing was I was still in the needy mode and always needing validation for things, you know, like I would always be, you know, when I do jobs, as you talk about in the book, I'd look for mummy's approval. I'd be coming in and say, oh look, I did this and I did that, you know. And that hit me when I read your book or heard your audio book. You know, do you want a cookie? Yeah, that was me, you know, like I was doing it again. And I didn't really know why, you know, I didn't really think about that too much at the time. Whilst I was in a better place, I still had those nice guy characteristics going on. And I think the new relationship style that my partner and I get along like really well with everything. And it was sort of just, you could get away with it for a little while, but after a while, you know, as the time goes past, things just start building and building, and maybe a little bit of resentment from some of this stuff was coming through without it even being conscious on my partner's part. And I was just doing all those sort of things, you know, like wanting approval for this and that, and you know, always needing to be with her or have her beside me, or to the point where she complained a few times that I need some time for myself, you know, like, you know, to hang with the girls and do things like that. And at the time I'm thinking, yeah, you know, you get that, you know, that's all right, but reality is I probably was crowding it, you know. And I hadn't really considered it. And I think some of these little things just started to build up and to the point of, like you say, the to the point of almost annoyance. So you get to that, you know, end of the day, and it's you got a bedroom that looks like the front page of your book.
Yep. And so, I mean, all the way down to once per month is pretty darn dead. So did anybody verbalize, wow, we sure don't have sex as much as we used to? You or her? Anyone?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd done that. I'd made those sort of comments, just little dropping little hints here and there for maybe a couple of months up until the talk. And she'd always agree with me, like, we really need to make more time for that, and you know, that sort of thing. But you get to the end of the day or whenever, and and it just, yeah, wouldn't happen like you were hoping. And yeah, right up until the point where one night I was, yeah, was laying in bed there when she's reading phone or book or something, and I had the talk, and not knowing at the time there's even such a thing as to like that, you're doing the wrong thing. But yeah, and I did that, and it went, yeah, really bad. She was got emotional, and you know, and I felt horrible. nothing yeah. really came of it, and it was just, and it was exactly that communication, you know, because in my mind, being the nice guy, I've been over my period. It was always that everything I've said, it's always about communication, you know, communicate. And so I thought, right, well, this is how it's going to have to work, you know, like I'm going to need to communicate to she needs to understand that we need to be doing this more. You can't be just, like you say, just being, housemates. This is, yeah, you want something more than that. So, so eventually that talk happened, and yeah, it didn't really do a thing. So,
what did that talk sound like?
Basically me just saying we're not having sex often enough, and her agreed to an extent, but you know, I can't remember exactly. There might have been excuses that were coming out, or you know, that sort of thing. But it ended up like I'm a fairly emotional type of guy, and yeah, I got emotional and she got emotional. Yeah, and afterwards we basically hugged and then rolled over and went to sleep, and that was it, you know, and then there was nothing in that week up until I traveled over to see my kids, and that's when I discovered your book and just went, wow.
Yeah.
This is me in a nutshell, and really I've got to change this right here and now. So
yeah, so let's talk about those changes. I mean, gradual? Did you just implement everything all at once? And walk us through what happened.
Yeah, no, I was almost like an epiphany, like you say, on the way when I was doing that drive up to Sydney. From then on, it was a real change of mindset. I don't think I've been hit by anything that I've read or heard before as hard as what I did when I read your book. It was literally just woke me up. And I'm a classic for someone who read something, like the idea of it, and then forget about it, you know, that sort of thing. But this one was different. I read it and it just sunk in. I just thought, oh my God, I'm one of the neediest people ever. When you look at what I've done in my life and where I am needed now, I needed to change that mindset. So I did. From then on, I don't even know how to explain, but, didn't always, I tried to not be always hanging off her and, ever since I read the book, I haven't once said, I just went and did this, you know, for approval. Some of those sort of aspects I've just completely changed. And yeah, and it almost had an immediate response. When I, you know, like responses from her that I was getting were, yeah, just almost instantaneously coming to a point where, you know, like the little things were the hugging and the the kisses and the, you know, stuff like that just came back. And it was like, once I started that journey, I listened to your book about two or three times and just kept working it into my brain. This is what I've got to do. It's worked, an absolute treat. So it's been great.
Has she expressed like, hey, this is a new you, what's going on here? Anything like that?
Little bits. There's been little bits. She hasn't asked me about anything directly. But I basically said to her, you know, one day when she just sort of said, oh, what are you up to there? You know, like I joined the gym and stuff like that. That's something that I've never done in my life, ever been to a gym. I'm not an unfit person, but I'm not super fit either. Mm-hmm. So I thought, right, well, it's a good idea to get. And to, on that note, about, I remember maybe 3 years ago, she said to me, 2-3 years ago, oh, you know, if you get really muscly or, you know, like,
I remember being really excited by the idea if you got really fit and got muscly. And I thought, oh, you know, at the time I thought, oh yeah, but whatever. But now, you know, remember it came back to me when I started thinking like this. I thought, well, you know, like, you know, they say they don't, a lot of, you know, oh, you know, I like you just the way you are. You get all that all the time. But reality is there's, you know, if you could be like, you know, like I was or where I'm heading to now, I know which one should take.
Exactly. Yeah. And have you noticed changes in her behavior? Is she kind of following suit, following you to the gym, working on herself physically?
Yeah. Yep. She has. She's running now. She was very fit when I first met her. She used to ride bikes a lot. And that dropped away. She's a lovely fit person anyway, but her fitness had dropped away. Even though she still looked good, the fitness wasn't there as much. And yeah, in the last, yeah, probably, yeah, well, pretty much the same amount of time I've been doing it. She's been back out. She runs every morning and yeah, something that she wasn't doing before. So I think it could well be, yeah, it could well be a case of that follow on.
Oh, absolutely. Women are much more in tune to some of those underlying uncomfortable truths in relationships. And one of those is mismatched attraction levels, whether it's real or imagined or whatever it may be. It's not sustainable in a relationship. And guys are way, way slower at realizing that. We just were like, hey, I make a good living. So what if I'm 40 pounds overweight and don't do anything and I dress like a slob? I'm me and I'm awesome. I'm Mr. Provider Man. Take it or leave it. Well, women on the other hand are, oh shit, he's going to the gym. Suddenly I have an urge to start doing yoga and running around the block more. And hey, can I come to the gym with you? And look at this cute little outfit I just bought. And doesn't my tummy look smaller? And men just have to sit back and laugh and they go, wow, that was just as the book described. Here it comes. Because they may not consciously or overtly say, I better get with the program here. It just happens. And and what is the biggest mind F for a lot of guys is just how much giddier, happier, more feminine, just overall happier the woman is following, you know?
Yeah.
The man's providing this lead of, and this model for look at me and this healthy, happier behavior. And she's like, sweet. Something to follow. This is awesome. Great. And it's always amazing to those guys who tell me that their wives are kind of controlling type A working women, usually women that have, you know, make more than the man. They will say, no, I didn't think she would be miss follow along, but here we go. There it is. And that's
that's a real difference between my first marriage and where I am now. The first one who was someone who didn't work and wasn't really that type A type woman like that, she would just would never follow me on something like this and would just have got defensive about it and probably annoyed. Whereas my partner now is more that person, like type A, yeah, a worker on, you know, like, you know, gets into things, gets out there and has fun. And you'd expect, like say, you sort of think, oh, well, they'd be less likely to, but it is. She's right onto that bandwagon. So I think that's exactly how it works.
And so, as you say, the love life has improved. Are you back to the honeymoon stage levels?
No, we're not improved that much. It'd be hard to get back to that stage. I don't think we ever can, well, do we?
I mean, you can get tastes of that here and there, and usually that comes when it's just you two together away on an adventure type of thing. Yeah. That's when a lot of guys report, like, "Holy crap!" That's when the Miss Porn Star came out.
Good little segue, actually. That's something that I got out of your book that really was amazing. Was to do that, and I did it a little bit different with the surprise trip. I did it the first time. I did it just a surprise date night rather than the full-blown trip, out of the blue. And took her out for this date. She didn't know where we were going. Didn't even know we were going. Thought we were just going to be in for the night and that sort of thing. She got home and I was all ready to go. And I said, right, you got this, you know, 20 minutes to get ready. We're off. We've got to be here. And that was really good and ended up with a really nice evening after that as well. Mm-hmm. And then running on with that about 3 weeks later, maybe something like that, I did it again, but this time with a trip over to a Kangaroo Island down from us here. And so you got to jump on a ferry and get over there. And we went over there for 3 nights, I think it was. And exactly that. I did the same thing. Didn't let her know until everything done. You know, we've got animals to look after. We've got a little hobby farm that we live on up here.
Nice.
And, you know, so I got arranged for people to come look after them. And my stepson, well, to be stepson, was at his dad's. So that was okay. So he was away as well. And so organized everything like that. And then we went away and had a, and did that basically when she got home. Said, like, you got an hour to be ready. We're off. We're going. No idea. And it was straight away. Oh, but what about? But what about? But no. We've got it. Don't worry about it. And to her credit, she didn't react too badly. It was quite, oh, okay, you know,
good,
like,
good.
And yeah, we went along and it was absolutely fantastic. That was honeymoon style.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really good. But in the general run of things around it, I would say we're about 70-80% up on where we were. Wow. You know, like, you know, it's probably 2 to 4 times a week currently. And to be honest with you, for me, that's perfect. You know,
I would think for most people, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't want to be, I actually like not, you know, don't want to be, I'm not someone who's looking for it every night or anything like that. So, that sort of amount is good. So
where do you see yourself, if at all, in these last few months? Do you see yourself slipping at all? Little mistakes?
No, if anything, to be honest with you, if anything, I'm getting better and better with it.
Good.
And I'll put that down to, if I ever do feel like anything, like I need to tune up on anything, I'll just go back and re-listen to the book again. And I've been listening to the other books. I'm going to have to download the Dr. Glover one, the No One Missed a Nice Guy. I haven't listened to that one yet. So that's my next one to have listened to. So,
and you've also been active on the group. You joined the fraternity.
Yep. Joined the fraternity. That was, part of, a bit of a thank you to you for putting me on the right track. And I thought, you know, like, this is, like, if I can get on there and help any other guys, well, that'd be great. So I thought I'll jump on there and join in. So it's been great. And then it's been good to see that, you know, like I say, I'm not even over here where I am, there's just, and not that I want to see guys going through this, but there's plenty of us that deal with it. And yeah, a lot of improvements that can be made in that regard. So.
Excellent. And now, which leads to the next question, we're talking a lot about you, and we hinted at a little bit about her, you know, getting better physically and working on herself.
Yep.
Are there some things that you're seeing now that you're not so happy with that she's doing or has been doing in the relationship? Is there something kind of nagging at you, gnawing at you for a while that nice guy you wouldn't dare bring up?
Yeah, no, to be honest with you, it's probably... I probably had some more of those before I read the book. Like, where there were things that maybe just because I was a bit annoyed with where the relationship was going a little bit in the bedroom and things like that. And so I would be a little bit, the mindset was looking for things to be annoyed at. Mm-hmm. And since I've started this journey and the response has been really good, if anything, I really couldn't pick anything at the moment that would say there's anything that's nagging me. If anything, our relationship is stronger than it's ever been because of it. It's great. It's really good. It's the little things that come back, the walk past and the touch of the butt, or the little kisses and the holding hands and things like that had started to drop away a bit have come back, you know. And it's just the attraction, I think. The attraction's back a bit more. And another thing on that, one of the biggest differences, another big thing that I did different was beforehand, see, I've always been into a bit of a sort of extreme sports stuff. So I fly paragliders. And my current partner, she rides horses and things like that. So what had happened before was I would always want her to be coming with me. Come with me to, you know, to the needy type thing that we talk about. Come with me and watch me fly the paraglider, or I'll come with you and watch you ride the horse, or, you know, everything. I had to always try to do everything together. And that was a massive thing, I think, was the change in that, giving some space. Now
you know, and going to see mates and things like that. So now it's, you know, like, you know, okay, honey, I'm going out to see mates. I'm going flying today. I'll see you at, you know, 7 o'clock tonight. No worries. You know, and same for her. And she's got her horse stuff. And if she wants to go down and see some mates, go for a ride or whatever. Okay. You know, if she asks me to come, I'll go, but otherwise I'll, yeah, give that space. And that space is a big thing, I think.
Absolutely. Maintaining your independence, each of you.
Yeah.
For guys that are high in anxiety and stuff, though, that can initially lead to some hesitation and anxiety around, we're separated. Does that mean we're growing apart? You know, she's off hanging out with the gals, doing some hobby horse thing or whatever, and I haven't seen her for a couple of days, and I seem fine with that, and she seems fine with that. Does that signal the demise of the relationship? Has that kind of stuff ever occurred to you?
No, actually a little bit the opposite, because I was more like that before I read the book again. Like, I would be, if she was to go out without me and do something like that, I'd be a bit anxious about it. I'd be like, oh, you know, what,
mm-hmm.
you know, where's she going? Why don't she want to be with me? You know, that sort of stuff. Since I've changed my mindset and I've got into the headspace I am now and the journey I'm now on, I don't have those feelings. I'm confident in who I am and what I'm doing, that, you know, that I'm strong in the relationship, and the responses I'm getting from her are exactly the same, that she's feeling better for the relationship and stronger for it and everything like that. So it's actually been, really good. The independence thing is a massive thing, part of it, in my opinion.
Excellent. So, it sounds like you two are just two naturally independent people. And I think a lot of your negatives, I don't think the book is necessarily, and here I am downplaying the importance of the book. I don't think it's like, oh, this master plan that no one has ever conceived of. Oh my gosh, he found the magic formula. I think for you, the book was just basically a smack upside the head. Wake up.
Exactly what it was.
Yeah. This isn't you, what you're doing here. So cut it out. You go back to the old, you know who the old independent you is. And you're like, yeah, you're right. What happened to that guy? Yeah. And I think if you dig deeper, I think what happened to that old independent you was you were in a toxic relationship with wife number one, and that just smothered all of that.
I think you've nailed it. That's exactly what happened. And because I was a very independent guy beforehand, and I think that I completely lost it in that relationship, and I brought some of those traits into the new relationship, and your books, exactly what you say, your books smacked that out of me, and it's been getting back to where I wanted to be. And like I say, in headspace wise, I'm like so much better than where I've been for a long time. So it's been wonderful in that regard. So,
I mean, it could be argued that you were in an abusive relationship, and like, you know, the stereotypical wife who was physically abused by the husband, and then she enters a new relationship and the new husband goes in for a hug and she winces like, huh, he's going to hit me. And he's like, no, I'm just going in for a hug, sweetheart. I would never hit you. And it takes a while for her to relax and let her guard down and realize, okay, he's safe. I can relax around him. I think same kind of thing with you. You took all that baggage into relationship number two. And then it took something like a book to say, dude, you can relax.
Yeah.
It's the old you. You have nothing to worry about. And let the old you come out. And voila, here you go. And your new partner is like, oh, thank God. I knew that guy was lurking in there somewhere. This is great.
Somewhere. Yes. Yep. Yeah. And it's been for my partner, it's been exactly that. She's without knowing exactly what I'm doing here, I haven't talked to her about the book. She knows I'm on a group called Dad Starting Over, but she doesn't really know much more about it.
Good.
But if she knew exactly where I've been, what I'm doing in this regard, or like my change in my, you know, she just seen this new guy coming through and has been just laughing it up, enjoying it, you know, like, and it's changing her as well to that extent, you know, like you're getting, like I say, the little things are coming back and the attraction's more there on both sides. And it just is a fantastic thing. So the smack in the head was needed.
Excellent.
it's brought me into a much better place. So, and not only in my relationship, and it's
in my whole life as well, you know, like some of the things, my workplace, things like that, just more confidence in what I'm doing.
Good.
And it just, I guess it, once you start, it sort of snowballs and you just sort of keep this, you can keep this stuff running and make it an absolute habit and it becomes you again. It's going to be, the journey just becomes fun again rather than hard.
Absolutely. I love it. But, you know, not to, you know, throw a bucket of water on the whole thing. Life has a way of kind of saying, you know, gotcha, sucker. I see that you've relaxed and you're comfortable and you're happy. You know, life's going to throw some obstacles at you and you're going to have some holy shit moments. So be prepared for those. And the holy shit moment may come in the form of, you know, you're, I don't know, you may have already experienced this before. Has the wife, with new you and your new dynamic, have you been turned down? And if so, how did you deal with it?
To be honest with you, I don't ask anymore, if you know what I mean, like for on that regard for the bedrooms. Yes. I took that right out of my arsenal.
It just happens. You just make it happen.
Yeah. It just make it happen. So I don't ever go asking anymore, because that was another thing that I did all the time. It was always me asking, and you know, after reading the book and that sort of thing, you know, that's really the wrong way of doing it. And and so now, since in the 4 months since I've read the book, I haven't asked once. So it's very now good. it just happens.
Yeah.
You know,
I can't imagine. And you know, I've been asked by so many guys, because I've been going on, well, it's over 7 years now with wife number two, and it's still in the quote hot and heavy phase. And so guys like, well, can you walk me through like how you initiate with the wife? And it's like, and same thing. I have literally never said, so you wanna, or do you feel like it? It just kind of happens. And it's because it's a natural progression of whatever happened throughout the day. You know, when you're talking about those little intimate moments throughout the day, of course, it's a natural culmination of end of day. Kids are to bed, blah, 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 blah. Yep. This is done. Here we are alone. No word spoken. It just happens. And of course, there are those times where it's kind of funny when you're in that desperate, I really need sex mode because it's been a month, 2 months, whatever it is. You kind of throw away all those little, social, you don't read the social cues properly. Everything is just kind of smothered by this very animalistic, manly, I need sex, I need relief from this pressure mode. And you don't take into account that your wife's been, you know, fighting a bad cold for 3 or 4 days, and the kid has been a really pain in the butt, and she had a really bad day at work, and the house is a mess and everything's cluttered, and we just got this big bill in the mail. That guy that's just really, really desperate, for lack of a better word, he like all that is just in the background. He doesn't care. All he knows is I have a need. Yeah. Well, when you kind of regularly get it, so to speak, and you have a nice, healthy relationship, you can read those signals a lot clearer, and you know when to back off.
Yep.
And you just naturally like, I could go for it right now, but you know what? She's had a rough day and I don't feel too good either. I'm tired. I'm kind of headachy, and just good night.
Yeah.
And nothing spoken and it's fine.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you got to that point, and that's wonderful. So
that's pretty much onto the nail on it again. It's exactly that. And I think the difference too is the expectation. Like, you don't put that expectation on them. That's what I was always doing. Like, you know, I'm expecting, and they feel that, and just it just instantly creates the wrong mindset for the whole process. Whereas without any of that, and things can just happen naturally, it's a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And the responses are, you know, like you say, you don't have any you don't really have to, you know, be doing it every night, but you can read the signs, and it's you know when you can and can't, and it just sort of happens. It's really good. It's a much better place than where we were. So
excellent. So I hope you stick around the group, because you know, we love these stories, and we're sharing your wisdom, and I'm sure you can learn from some of the other guys, and they will be there to keep you on the same path. And like I said, you're going to have hiccups and you're going to have moments, know, not to sound sexist, but she's a woman, which means there's going to be moments where you're just going to go, huh? What the hell?
You know, the good thing about that now though is I feel like I'm in a mindset and a headspace where I can handle it.
There you go.
You know, like beforehand I would have been crushed and been, you know, a wreck. Now, you know, it's okay. We'll get past it. We'll, you know, like, and you know, worst case scenario, something happened down the track and things fell apart. Well, I'll be okay.
And take that "we'll be okay" mentality, which is amazing, but point it at yourself at those times where that old you is going to surface every now and then. Because you went through years of a really shitty relationship and you got a lot of ingrained programming in you that every now and then is going to bubble up and you're going to be like, what the hell? Why did I just do that for? Why did I just say that? Why did I just act that way? Why did I just feel that? And I just always have that in the back of your mind saying, dude, it's okay. Give yourself a break. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to take a little while. It's going to take years of doing this way to rewrite all that programming just to where all this stuff becomes completely natural. So at the same token where you say, dude, it's okay. If it doesn't happen, it's okay. If she flies off the handle every now and then, same thing to you.
Yeah.
Dude, it's okay. Yeah. If I got a bad day, if I got a bad week, if I wake up in a shitty mood, if I suddenly feel needy. And I think that's perfect segue into, or a perfect avenue to reach out to the group. Guys, having a shitty day, this is what happened. What do you think? And I guarantee you 99 guys will come back saying, oh yeah, me too. That happened last week. And here's what I did. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Give yourself a break, blah, blah. So
The group is fantastic for that. From what I've seen, like I said, I've only been on it a short while personally. And there's lots of posts on it and the feedback from other guys and stuff. And sometimes it's great, you know, like you'll be going through the day and I'll just be like cruising along at work and just, you know, things will be going a bit dull or a bit hard for the day or something like that. And I'll just quickly flick in my lunch break or something on them. Pull up Facebook and there's, you know, a post from Jack London, one of your members, and it'll be like, and it'll be just like some sort of a meme or something like that. And it's just like a real pick me up. It's like, oh yeah, I like that, you know? And from then on, I'm just, for the next little while, I'm, you know, in a, just got that, get that headspace again and just keep rolling along for the rest of the day. So
and
just things like that.
And what I'm most proud of in the group is, we have that motivational kick you in the butt stuff, but it's also an extremely understanding, empathetic group where I don't care if you have erectile dysfunction, if you are an alcoholic and you're having a, you know, you fell off the wagon or whatever it may be, zero judgment, zero guys saying, come on, loser, what's wrong with you? Nope. It's just, understand it. Here's what you can do. Been there, done that. I went to this doctor, here you go, whatever it may be. And, we've seen it all, addicts.
I've noticed that since I've been on there. And to any of your listeners who are thinking about it and haven't joined and really consider doing it, it's well worth it. There's you just feel like you're not on your own, you know, like you got brothers out there that are dealing with the same thing and we can all help each other out.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And here's a quick plug. So guys that are interested, dadstartingover.com/join. And you can watch a video and read all about the group and what it takes to join. So, Chris, thank you so much, buddy. I appreciate this.
Thank you. It's literally, I said it in my post on the group that, you know, you're waking me up. It's my life's changed because of it, and it's changed so much for the better. And I cannot thank you enough.
Oh well, thank you. I appreciate it so much. And wish you all the best. Please keep in touch. Please keep active on the group. And look forward to seeing you on there.
No worries.
All right, sir. Thank you. Have a good one.
Cheers. See you later. Bye.